Ellison. Good evening, everyone. Sure good to see each one out tonight. With the message of the cross, we've been set free. That's what I want to talk about a bit tonight. I want to talk about redemption. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans 3, 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I'm sure God will add a blessing just to the reading of his precious word. As an introduction to the message, I'd like to say at the beginning that the Bible is not a book of history. It's not a book of science, philosophy, or morals. Though all it says on these subjects is absolutely true, but it is a book devoted to the revelation of one person. That person is Christ, and to one thing, and that thing is redemption. And that's what we want to talk about for the time that is allotted to me tonight, is redemption. We like to look at its meaning briefly. We like to look at its necessity, why redemption was necessary. We like to look at its accomplisher. And we like to look at its condition, how you could receive it. Then we like to look at the results of receiving. I say, well, we could be in here a long time to get through that. No, I'll try to get you out in time because I promised someone I'd try to get out here on time tonight. Okay. So first we can look at its meaning. There's many definitions, the word redemption. One is to buy back. You might say, well, what does that got to do with redemption, about buying back? Well, we were created in the beginning without sin. But our foreparents plunged us into sin. And sin cannot enter the presence of a righteous, holy God. Therefore, we needed to be brought back, and there was no other way but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Another definition is to ransom or deliver. Another definition is payment of a debt. And as I thought of that, I say, what a debt that I owe. We oftentimes sing, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But now I sing a brand new song. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Hallelujah, what a Savior. But another definition is to regain possession of by paying a price. You go back to Exodus 12. You know the story well. how the firstborn in the land of Egypt, the Israelites, were delivered from death. After that, the Lord requires the firstborn of every human and the firstborn of every clean animal. The firstborn sons was to become priests to God up until the tribe of Levi was set apart for that service. The firstborn of every clean animal was to be sacrificed within a year. But the unclean animal, so I want to make the point, could not be sacrificed, such as a donkey. There must be one to pay the price. It had to be a lamb. A lamb had to die. My friend, tonight, I'm going to tell you, if we had not had that Lamb of God to pay the price for us, we could have never been redeemed. And you know what it says? The neck of that donkey was to be broken if it was not redeemed. And at the very outset of this message, I want to tell you tonight, there must be a choice. There had to be a choice in that redemption of the donkey. Either redemption by a lamb, or the donkey's neck would be broken. And tonight, my friend, there must be a choice. If you are here tonight without Christ, it's either redemption or damnation. The choice is yours. It's not my words. It's God's word. We look briefly at the meaning. We now like to consider, why is it necessary? Why was that redemption necessary? Because man is sold under sin. Romans 7:14 tells us that. We're sold under sin. We have become slaves to sin. Sin has become our master. That's why we needed redemption. Isaiah 52:3 says, you sold yourself for nothing. It says, but Christ has redeemed us without money and without price. We sometimes sing that hymn, no silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. No riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior now maketh me whole. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love unto me. It's necessary, yes, because we were sold under sin. It's necessary because we have become slaves of sin. Romans 6:16 tells us that. It says, know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants or his slaves ye are to whom ye obey. Simply, if we submit ourselves to someone, we become their master, don't we? We become that person's slave. And let me tell you tonight, my friend, if we sell out to sin, we become slaves of sin. How many people tonight, even right in this community, is sold out to sin? They touch the alcohol for the first time. They never intended to become a slave of that. Tonight they find themselves in alcohol. They said they tried drugs. They never intended to become a slave of drugs. But tonight, they become slaves of that thing that they have taken into their body. Sin brings guilt. Sin brings fear in this. My friend, let me ask you tonight. Why be a slave when you could be free? Thirdly, it's necessary because we are condemned through sin. John 3:18 tells us that he that believeth not is condemned already. You're only waiting for the sentence, my friend, if you're not saved tonight. Romans 3:19, as we read, that every mouth in that day will be stopped. and the whole world to become guilty before God. Ordinarily, in a court of law, the time of defense is given to discrediting the witnesses. But this will not be the case at the judgment bar of God. When the evidence is presented and the opportunity for defense comes, there will be no defense. The mouth of the heathen, their mouth will be stopped. They might try to make excuses we never heard. God will say, I gave you creation. But instead of worshiping the Creator, you worship creation. Their mouth will be stopped. The mouth of the moral and religious man will be stopped. They might say, Lord, I've done many things in your name. I taught Sunday school. I sang in the choir. Lord, I cast out even demons and done miracles in your name. No works will get you free that day. No. The mouth of the cursing and bitter man will be stopped. You won't be cursing near that day. I tell you, there shall be a silent world stand before the judgment bar of God. Because it says every mouth will be stopped. No lawyers, no bribing, no any kind of appeal will get you free, my friend, that day. All that remains that day will be the verdict. And the verdict will be read. Guilty. One word. What else could it be? I believe it's then, my friend, that when we read in the scripture, every knee shall bow. I believe it's then that men and women will fall on their face and confess him then as Jesus is Lord. But it'll be too late. It'll be too late. My friend, don't play with your soul tonight. You're going to have to face the judgment if you do. Charles Finney was a young lawyer. One morning he came into the office very early. And he was alone and says, God started to deal with him. Says, Mr. Finney, what are you going to do when you finish your course in law? He says, I'm going to be a lawyer. Doesn't God seem to say to him, and then what, Finney? He says, get rich. Then what, Finney? I'm going to retire. Then what, Finney? I'm going to die. Then what? And he says, and as he was trembling to get the words out, then the judgment. Then the judgment, my friend. Are you ready? You don't need to be come before the judgment bar of God if your sins are already taken care of down here. Don't play with your soul. It's too valuable. You have a chance tonight to receive the Savior. Why not? But then, you're helpless. That's why it was necessary. Helpless to deliver yourself from sin. Paul says the good we want to do, we don't do it. Says an evil we don't want to do, that we find ourselves doing. We see the unyielding flesh. Scripture says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We're helpless. Nothing we could do. That's why we need redemption. Romans 5 and 6 says, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Utterly unworthy. But Christ died for us anyway. My friend, don't go out tonight without knowing it. It's not a new start you need tonight, but it's a new heart. I'd like to now look at the accomplisher. None other than Christ. Back in scripture, one who could redeem must possess at least four qualifications before he could redeem. First, he must have the will to redeem. And I'll tell you, Christ proved that by being willing to leave heaven and all that it had and come right to where we were. And go to Calvary. And take my sin and your sin. No one was willing like him. Luke 10:45 says, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for men. That word minister means to serve as an attendant. to wait on tables. But I'll tell you, the greatest service he did, like the end of that verse says, give his life a ransom for men. His death would lead to riches. The ransom would be paid, and slaves would be set free. Yes, one must be willing before he could redeem. And all our Savior is so willing to come. Secondly, one must have the right to redeem. In Leviticus 25 and 48, it says, one must be of his own brethren before he could redeem. And in Ruth, it tells us that not only he had to be a near of kin, but he had to be the next of kin to have that right. But let me tell you, my friend, tonight, God became man to obtain that right. To obtain that right for me and you. I cannot comprehend God becoming man. Daniel Webster went to dine one day with a group of intelligent young men. The subject of Christianity was brought up, and Daniel Webster made it real clear that his belief was in the atonement of Jesus Christ to save him from his sin. Then one of the men said to Mr. Webster, Mr. Webster, could you comprehend how Christ could be both God and man at the same time? He says, no, sir, I cannot comprehend it, because if I could, he would then be no greater than I. Says, I feel as if I need a super human savior. My friend, that's who you need tonight. A super human savior. One who became man to take your place, my place, that you might go free. Thirdly, one must have the power to redeem. And all power is his. Romans 1 and 4 says, declared to be the Son of God with power. Hebrews 7 and 26 says, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sins. That's who the one who could redeem. That's the kind of person it had to be. He was undefiled, similar to the cleanliness, the cleanness required of the Levitical priests. But theirs was only on the outside. But Christ's undefilement was total, without sin in any form, in any way. They had to intercede, the priest, to the God of heaven. But he was the God of heaven. Christ was the God of heaven. Yes, all power was his. Says, all power is given to me, both in heaven and in earth. But fourthly, before you could redeem, he must have the price to redeem. Leviticus 17 and 11 says, it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sin. It says, by his sacrifice, I mentioned that this morning, he obtained eternal redemption. The priest went in once a year and joined, and just to cover the sin. But he went in once, and it's eternal forever, if you will come and accept. My friend, what a price. What a price did the Savior pay? To be willing to let man take a whip and wrap it round his back till it came to sleep. To be willing to let men take a crown of thorns and press it on his brow. To be willing to let a man come and hit him on the head with a stick and sink that crown of thorns into his brow. To be willing to let men spit in his face, to pluck the beard with the flesh with him, and then to go to Calvary and let him nail him to a cross. What a price. But my friend, let me tell you something tonight. That fades into insignificance when we think of what God had to do to his son, that you and I might be redeemed tonight. is there alone in 3 hours of darkness. God placed my sin and your sin upon his son who was innocent, and he becomes guilty for me and you. Then he bears that punishment that I should have borne in hell for an eternity. What a price. Could one love you more than that tonight? Could one do more than that for me or you? How could you turn such love like that down? I don't know. If you're not saved, I don't know what it means. I don't know what you need to do for you to accept the Savior. But I can tell you tonight, he paid the price. He paid it in full. Someone has said, why was he silent? Why is he silent when a word would slay his accusers wrong? Why does he meekly bear their taunts when angels made his call? He was made sin. My sin he bore upon the accursed tree. And sin hath no defense to make. His silence was for me, for you. My friend, he bore it all. He couldn't do anything else but give his weary life. But let's look at its condition. His condition is faith in the fact of his redemptive work. Romans 3:24 and 25 says, freely, by his grace, that's how you receive it, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. Have you placed your faith in his blood? That he shed that blood for you, the life is in the blood. Faith in him is the condition by which we're saved. Old Testament believers were saved by the price yet to be paid they looked for. But we as believers today, we look back to Calvary. We come here every Lord's Day morning to remember him. And we look back to Calvary and see him hanging there for us. My friend, that's what you need to do tonight. To see him there in your place. Why don't you trust me? I don't know what to tell you only but to trust me. Romans 5:1 says we are justified by faith. We have to receive it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24 says we're justified by grace. You say, well, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. Justified by grace, that means we do not deserve. One means we have to receive it. The other means we do not deserve it. And justified by his blood. That only, you say that's a contradiction again. No, that's telling us that's the price the Savior paid. And we're justified by God. He is the one who reckons us righteous. Secondly, it must be acceptance of the Redeemer's person as one's personal Savior. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become sons or children of God. Here we see man's action, receive and believe. That's all you have to do tonight. And we see what God's action will be. He gives the right or the authority to become children of God. He has faith in the Lord Jesus. Someone has said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. That's true, isn't it? Sees the invisible, can't see him only by faith. Believes the incredible, that we could be saved through his blood, and receives the impossible. That's what you have to do tonight. Faith is not believing someone has said that God can save you, but that God will do it. My friend, have you done it tonight? Look at the results, if you would come. Freedom from sin slavery. Romans 8:36, as if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Free from slavery to liberty. What a contrast. And the method that God uses, the just for the unjust. One who was without sin for us who was sinners. And I'll tell you, my friend, tonight, God was satisfied forever with that work. The law was silenced forever. And if you come tonight, the believer, you'll be saved forever. Why don't you come? You have justification before God. That's another result. You have peace with God. You have assurance with God. And you have heaven with God. For all eternity. My friend, the choice is yours. I'd like to close tonight with a story. It's regarding being neglectful, putting salvation off time and time again. Evangelist D.L. Moody tells his story. Says he taught a group of young men. Everyone gave their heart to Christ with the exception of one. Some weeks later, Dr. Moody, you know if it's a doctor, Mr. Moody, went to see this young man and asked him, why don't you give your heart to the Lord Jesus? He says, Mr. Moody, I'm going out west. When I make my fortune and return, I'll receive Christ as my Savior. Mr. Moody went away with a sad heart. Mr. Moody says about 2 weeks later, this man was taken to hospital. Mr. Moody felt as if he should go and see him. Mr. Moody says he knelt by his bedside, opened the word, said, my friend, why don't you give your heart to Christ? Says Mr. Moody in a feeble voice, I told you, I'm going out west. When I return, I'll accept Christ. Mr. Moody says, I left that hospital with a heavy heart. Says the young man did get better. And some months later, he came running up to Mr. Moody. Says, Mr. Moody, I'm going out west. I've come to say goodbye. Mr. Moody says, I placed my hand atop his shoulder. I said, young man, one more time. Why don't you give your heart to Christ? Says he withdrew his hand from him. Said, Mr. Moody, never do you speak to me again about my soul and about accepting Christ. I told you I would receive him when I came back. Mr. Moody says he felt then that this young man had sealed him. So that night he got a knock on his door, a heavy knock. He looked out of the window. There was a young woman, shawl over his shoulder. Says, Mr. Moody, please come. My husband is desperately ill. Please come. Mr. Moody says, I recognized it was that young man's wife. I said, young lady, there's no use for me to come. This afternoon, your husband sees his name. Says, please come, Mr. Moody. Mr. Moody says, I got dressed. I felt there was no hope. Just as I was walking up those stairs, as I saw something I shall never forget. The door was wide open. The lights were on. And I could see this young man looking up into the ceiling, unconscious. And he had two words on his lips. Too late. Too late. Too late. Mr. Moody says, I try to sit by his bedside and try to knock him to see if he could regain consciousness. I tried to pray, but it didn't mean nothing. He kept on saying, too late, too late, too late. Mr. Moody says, I held his hand, and in less than 5 minutes, he was out in Detroit. With the last words on his lips, too late. Let's pray. My friend, tonight, in the solemnness of these moments, let us hear. That young man is probably in hell tonight. because he went out into eternity with those words to me. Could it be possible that this is your last chance? I don't know. I'm not trying to scare you into making a decision. But my friend, you don't know. You don't know. This could be very well the last time Christ could return. Or you could have a heart attack instantly and be in eternity without even a chance to accept the Savior. Would you be wise tonight? Right where you see him? Simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that you went to Calvary and took my sin. You paid the price with your precious blood. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, if you do that, I tell you upon the authority of God's word, he will come in. He will save you tonight. Don't leave, my friend, tonight. Don't leave this building until you know for sure your sins are forgiven. Father, we realize tonight there could be someone here who have never placed their faith and trust in your Son. Oh, Father, we pray tonight that you would give them the courage not to leave this building, but to make that most important decision tonight of inviting the Lord Jesus into their heart and life. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Could we close by singing just one verse of number 245? One verse of 245. Friend, tonight, don't leave the building. Once you get outside, Satan will take what's been said away from you. And you'll talk about something else. And you'll soon forget. Your soul's at stake. You don't know. And to go out into eternity without Christ and to know that you had an opportunity tonight to come, that will be enough hell in itself. Greater the knowledge, greater the responsibility. If you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give all. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. 245 in the meeting will be over. First verse only.